So the word of the day is pray. You know, in a few weeks we're going to start our summer series, and our summer series is going to be in the books Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And I would imagine it will have been a long, long, long time since you've heard sermons from Haggai or Zechariah or Malachi. Prayer, on the other hand, well, you've probably heard countless sermons on prayer. Or you might have heard it mentioned or brought up in hundreds if you've been in church much of your life. It is not new material, is it? In fact, we've been comparing a lot of these components of spiritual fitness over the past few weeks to physical fitness. And I really, when I think of prayer in the spiritual fitness sense, I almost think of exercise in the physical fitness sense, because it is not a mystery to anybody that if you want to have decent physical health, then you have to exercise your body. Everybody knows that. Everybody gets it, right? Now, different people that do it in lots of different ways. For some people, exercise is just getting out and walking, getting your heart rate up a little bit. For some people, exercise can be a little bit more intensive. It might include a little light jogging, or it might include some aerobics or swimming or things like that. And then you find other people who exercise can be running several miles. It can be running lots of miles. And if running, you know, 10 or 20 or 30 miles at a time was not enough, you know, some people want to put swimming and biking and running all in the same event and do them all together. And one of the newer trends, it's not really new, but it's trending, are these warrior dashes or mud races, where you're not only running 10 kilometers or, marathon mileage, but during the course of running them, you're running through mud and you're going up military-type obstacles and things like that. Because, you know, running 23 miles is just not challenging enough for some folks. It covers the board. I mean, it doesn't matter what you do, just so long as you do something. Just so long as you do something. And yet, how much do you observe the fact that even though everybody knows that, we all get it, I would be afraid for us to take inventory on how many of us just don't do it. All right, now this is not to guilt you into exercise in any sense, but what it is designed to do is to illustrate to you that prayer is much the same way. We all get it. This is not new material. We all understand that prayer is a key component of the spiritual life. We all get that if we want to have an increasing level of spiritual fitness, prayer has got to be at the foundation of it. And you know what? People do all kinds of different ways. You have some people that just pray a few minutes every day. You have some people that, you know, that have it all organized and mapped out, and they have, you know, lists of things that they pray for, and they chart what they pray for and where they see God answer. Some people might pray for hours over the course of the week. Different degrees, and they're all good. I wouldn't go as far as to say that any are better than the other. What matters is that you do something. That you pray some, that you pray regularly, that prayer is contributing to your spiritual health. And yet, despite the fact that just about all of us know it, we hear it, we get it, there's just a lot of people that don't do it. We just don't do it. And so the job of the pastor today is not to impart new information. It's to, in some manner or form, motivate you to do that which you know you ought to be doing anyways. Kind of like a doctor, kind of like a coach. Should we pray? Sure. Do we need to? Absolutely. Do we know that? Yes. Are we committed to it, and are we disciplined at it in our lives? That's the question. If you have a Bible, I want to invite you to turn with me to the Gospels this morning. We're going to look at the example of Jesus. Because if anybody had the resources and the power to get through life without praying, you would think it would have been the Son of God himself, right? If anybody had the wisdom, if anybody knew how to make all the right decisions, If anybody was able to weather the storms of life, the difficulties that were thrown at him, if anybody was able to do that without praying, Jesus would have been it. And yet, what do we find throughout the Gospels? I'm going to run these a little bit out of order, whoever's running the slides. But I'm going to start with Mark 1:31. And I'm going to flip through these. You may have a hard time following me, and so we'll put them up on the screen. Mark 1:31, or I'll just read them if you'd like to listen. Early on, this is the very beginning of Mark's account of Jesus. He says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." Luke 5:16. This was the impression Luke had. Often, Jesus withdrew to lonely places and prayed. In John's Gospel, examples of Jesus praying, Jesus is talking. He says, "I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world," talking about his disciples. And he says, "I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one." Back in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, Jesus praying again. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure." And then the key verse is back in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. And there are instances of Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane in every Gospel. We could turn to Matthew and read about this. We could turn to Mark, to Luke, to John. And all three of them are going to have instances of Jesus praying immediately before his arrest. Mark's account reads like this. He says, "They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.' He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death,' he said to them. 'Stay here and keep watch.' And going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. 'Abba, Father,' he said, 'everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will.'" In that moment, Jesus actually said a prayer that was not God's will. "Take this cup from me." But he also acknowledged, he said, "Lord, my will is not what's important here. What your will is, let me follow and let me do what it is that you want me to do." The Gospels are full of these stories, and the Gospels are written by men who, for a very brief window of time, for 3 years, give or take a few months on either side, live with Jesus. They travel with him, they slept with him, they stayed with him, they ate with him, they ministered with him. And the impression that they got was, I mean, it's almost like Luke saying, you know, we would turn around and all of a sudden nobody knows where Jesus is. We're all rolling out of bed at 6 a.m. and Jesus is not there and we don't know where he is. And so we kind of go looking for him and all of a sudden we'll find him somewhere off out in the middle of nowhere by himself praying. And this was something apparently that happened often. Luke says, often Jesus would withdraw to lonely places and pray. That was the impression that they got. The text that was in our reading that we read together was the disciples at some point, they'd seen Jesus pray, they'd heard Jesus pray. At some point, they were just kind of like, you know, we'd like to know how to do that. Can you teach us how to pray? And Jesus said, well, here's one way you can do it. And taught them how to do so. There are the gospel writers telling us, describing Jesus' behavior, the gospel writers recording literal prayers that Jesus prayed. Every one of the gospel writers talks about this moment in the garden. I believe it's in Matthew's gospel where he'll say that Jesus' prayer was so intense and his agony was so deep that it caused him to sweat drops of blood. If anybody could have gotten through without prayer, surely you would think that it was him. And yet when we read about his life as it is told to us by the men who knew him best, what do we find? That he probably prayed more than any of us. And so what should that tell us? The one who had the power and the ability to walk on water still prayed. The one who had the ability to calm the storm still prayed. The one who had the ability to call to Lazarus who was dead to come forth, come back to life, still prayed. The one who knew he was going to die and yet knew on the other side of death that he would rise again, he told his disciples that. Even still, he prayed. Spiritual fitness, spiritual health, spiritual growth cannot take place in our lives apart from this. It's 101. This is Christianity 101. And I can tell you, it's kind of like Christmas. You talk about it so many times, you kind of run out of creative ways to talk to people about prayer. Just like every Christmas we come around, like, all right, what creative way are we going to present the same story? Maybe we don't have to be creative. But in the context of prayer, we talk about it all the time. It comes up as application in sermons all the time. It comes up probably in your Bible study groups all the time. How many of you are part of a small group where at some point in your group's meeting you don't stop and say, let's share requests, let's take a moment and pray? And yet, do we really have a view of prayer that says, this is the work of the warrior of the kingdom of God? This is the work we do. I don't have a lot of, you know, scripture beyond this. I think the example that Jesus gives us ought to be sufficient to remind us that prayer is important and we ought to do it. Okay? And as Rick testified, as Jeff exemplified, as I have already alluded to, there is no one right way to do it. But much like when we talked about sharing 2 weeks ago, if you're not intentional about doing it, if you're not regimented in doing it, it's one of those cases where to fail to plan is to plan to fail. You've heard that before, right? If you're not intentional about it, then our busy lives encroach and we just don't do it. And so what I want you to be thinking about this morning is, what are some ways that you can plan into your routine time to pray? Do you already do that? If you don't, how can you do it? This is the challenge. In previous ages, in previous, you know, cultures, in previous centuries, where there were not all the demands on our time, where people didn't commute sometimes 30 minutes to work, an hour to work, where people weren't, so enamored with all of their kids' extracurricular activities, whenever we didn't have so much busyness in our lives, the opportunity to sit for 30 minutes and read a little bit of God's Word and spend time communicating with Him and praying and talking to Him, that was not as challenging a thing to work into your day. But for us, listen, the business of the church is what I do all day, every day almost. And I'll testify that even for me, it is, if I'm not careful, the demands of my job and my family will just suck it dry. The time for prayer sometimes can be fleeting. And so what I wanted to share with you just in the last half of this message this morning are some tips. When you talk about physical health, we talk about tips. Tips to exercise, tips to eat right, tips to do this or tips to do that, because for everybody it's going to be different. You can take these ideas and apply them in whatever way you want. And I want to give a little disclaimer before we jump into these tips, okay? I can say this because I'm a guy. In general, prayer is one of those things, when people do it well, it's more often than not ladies. Men. There's just something about prayer that oftentimes we don't value it. We don't commit to it. at every church I've been at, going all the way back to high school, if you wanted to ask somebody, who are the prayer warriors in the church, people would start listing them off, and it'd be lady, 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 women that carry the burden. And you know what? We celebrate that. We celebrate that oftentimes prayer can be a spiritual gift, and there are people that are just tuned in and wired that way to do it with great fervor and with great effectiveness. But prayer is also one of those things where if you don't have it as your spiritual gift, that's not a get out of jail free card. That doesn't mean that you don't have to, that doesn't mean that it doesn't apply to you. And so I can say this, guys, because I am one and because I get it. But if there's anybody who's going to be tempted to take these ideas and this conversation this morning and just check out or act like it doesn't apply, it's going to be the men in the room and not the women in the room. Guys, please don't do that, okay? Now what I will encourage you to do, if you go exercise, my wife exercises a lot, and she does, you know, she does a Jillian Michaels, DVDs at home, and she does all of her other things, and, there are things that she does that just, man, they don't work for me. In my exercise life, going to the gym and doing step aerobics, you know, that's water aerobics, I'm not gonna do that, okay? The mud run sounds a lot better to me than some of those things. But here's what happens is a lot of guys, if in the world of prayer, they'll see prayer the way that women do it. And it can be passionate. It can be effective. But for men, they look at that and they're just like, that doesn't connect with me. Well, in the world of exercise, you know what I do? If my wife's exercise habits don't connect with me, then what I don't say, well, I'm just going to give up. I'm just not going to do it. What I do is I find ways that resonate with me as a guy, and I exercise in ways that are effective for me and work for me. And in the context of prayer, you guys are all going to have to help me investigate this, because I don't know that I have any concrete examples. I'll share some stories from my own experience with you. But it may be that when you think of prayer, what you think about is something that doesn't connect with you. And I hope that these tips are designed to be broad enough to allow plenty of room for creativity and personal application in your own life. Nobody's application is going to look the same. But we have got to be intentional about finding ways of prayer that are effective for us. Okay? Considering the example of Jesus, I would preface these tips with number one by saying that prayer is work. We're going to talk about creative ways. You're going to talk about all these different things you can do. But short and sweet, prayer is work. There is no shortcut to doing it. Have you not found that to be the case with physical exercise in your life? You can make it fun. You can make it, you know, you can distract yourself by getting on the treadmill in front of whatever your favorite television show is, or CNN, or you can put headphones on so that you can listen to music while you're doing so. You can distract yourself. You can make it entertaining. You can do group sports with other people. You can whatever. But no matter what you do, if exercise is going to be effective, then your body has to work. That's the whole premise of exercising, right? If your body's not working, then it's not exercise. And prayer is the work of the Christian. It is our work. It is going to be work. And if you can't just buy into that and agree that it is, and agree that you are going to be committed and do the work, then you're not going to be disciplined. Prayer is not going to contribute to your spiritual growth and development. Jesus often would get up early in the morning. Oh, why couldn't it have been often he stayed up late at night? That would have been so much better for me. Often he would get up early in the morning and go pray. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places. You know, we had, Rick did the little exercise with us praying today. One of the other exercises we thought about doing was just having everybody sit in here in total silence for 5 minutes. We can't even do that for 30 seconds sometimes without people getting really antsy. This is, silence is awkward for us. Silence by ourselves is awkward for us. Silence in a room with 700 other people. It's awkward, isn't it? Jesus would intentionally go away from people, away from noise, away from distractions. He labored in prayer to the point of drops of blood. He would fall on his face. He would cry out to God. It was, for him, it was work. And yet the example set by him passes its way to us. Prayer is work. It was funny, you know, last week in talking about generosity, I made the point and said, some people, there are a lot of people that hear about these components of spiritual fitness and they might do this one and might do that one, but there's something that people says, I'm just not going to do that. And I use that to talk about being generous. And somebody came up to me and they said, you know, said, you're right about that, but said, there's a lot of other people that they don't mind giving to the church, but they're just not going to pray. They're just not going to do it. And I thought, you know, that was my point. In all these manners of fitness, it may be that you'll do three or four of them, but there's that one thing that you just won't do. Prayer is hard work. The second thing that I would point out based on these passages, and I think that's good strategically for us in the busy world that we live in, is if you are going to do the work of prayer, you have to make a trade with yourself. Okay? You have to make a trade. Jesus did this. He would trade sleep for prayer. He would trade time with his friends for prayer. He would trade the comforts of this environment for the lack of comfort in another one in order to pray. And you know what? In our world, if you just go out today and you say, I'm going to work on prayer this week. I'm just going to kind of look and see whenever there's an open time in my day to do it. Can I tell you your success rate will be zero? It'll be zero. We're busy. And you've got to intentionally say, I'm going to trade this for that with myself. I'm going to trade a few minutes of sleep in the morning. I'm going to trade a few minutes of sleep at night to pray. You know what? I've shared this with you. My Sunday routine, you will hardly ever get in my pickup and ride anywhere with me that the radio's not on. The music's not playing, that a CD's not playing, that sports talk radio's not on. You'll never get in that there's not background noise. But for the 10 minutes that I drive from my house to church on Sunday morning, it's my routine, is to hit the power button and turn it off. And I trade that 10 minutes. This is just one example, but I trade music for that 10 minutes that I can pray for that 10 minutes that I'm driving up here. It's a bargain I've made with myself. It may be that you trade a lunch or lunch with people in order to have lunch by yourself and pray. It may be that you trade a television show that you normally watch, or 30 minutes of TV, or the first half of an NBA playoff game. The second half is the one that really matters. You trade the first half for time to pray. But you got to make a trade with yourself. There was a professor at the school where Jana and I went to college, and I didn't have him and didn't know him, but the story got around that what he did was, one day a week, he would fast from lunch in order to pray for his kids. I mean, isn't that what fasting? Fasting is trading your meal for time and energy focused on something else, spiritually related. And that's what he would do. His kids were in high school. They were teenagers. You know what? I was always impressed by that. I have never followed suit in that yet. But my kids are not teenagers yet, And when they get there, I may all of a sudden get motivated to do that. But I was so impressed because basically what he's saying was, it's one day a week for an hour and a few calories. I'm trading that meal for prayer. I'm going to pray for my kids that hour of my day, the same day every week. Guys, like I said, in ages past, when there was not the busyness that we have to endure, people didn't have to do this. They could just accidentally have time to pray. It might just flow with part of their day. But for us, this is one of the challenges that goes along with the blessings. We are incredibly blessed in our country with resources and with freedoms and with luxuries. We're incredibly blessed with all of these things. But any time there are blessings, you have to be careful that the blessings don't cause you to become lazy. Any of you have a vehicle that's got the little sensor beep on the back of your vehicle that tells you when you're getting close to something? My truck has that. My wife's minivan does not. It's a luxury to be backing up and all of a sudden my truck is going to beep at me and tell me when there's something close. And I every now and then I'll catch myself. I'll get in Janna's van and I'll be backing up and not even looking. And I'm just like, this is bad. We have to be sure that the blessings around us, that the luxuries around us don't cause us to become lazy. And so if that is going to be the case, then in the matter of prayer, folks, we've got to be intentional and we've got to plan to do it. And almost all the time, that means making a conscious decision to make a trade with yourself, this for prayer. See, there's tons of freedom there. How does that work for you? Ladies, that may be one area of things. Men, that be one area of things. For all of us, if you work, that's going to provide certain opportunities. If you stay home, that's going to provide other opportunities. How do you make this work for you? But you have to be intentional about it. Some other things. You know, what you see Jesus doing is Jesus would use Scripture to pray. And oftentimes people will give the excuse to say, you know what, I just really don't know how. I bow my head and I pray and I don't know what to say. I don't know what to pray for. I'll spend 2 or 3 minutes doing it and then I just kind of run out of things to talk about. It's awkward for me. Prayer is very much a learned exercise. It's a learned experience. The more you do it, it's just like a relationship with somebody at work. I mean, whenever you first meet them, conversation is, how does it go normally? I mean, it's awkward. You only have so much you can talk about. The weather, you know, the weather. And you can only do that for so long. But the more you get to know them, the more you find out about them, then all of a sudden conversation can get to be really, really easy. That's my definition of intimacy, is the fact that I can sit in a car with my wife for 8 hours between here and Oklahoma and be together and not have to talk about anything and it not be awkward. Or we can talk about absolutely anything because we know each other so well. It becomes more comfortable the more you do it. And a great teacher in praying is the Bible. You know, you have an entire book in the middle of your Bible called Psalms. And you know what Psalms are? They are not prophetic messages from God to us. They are prayers from men and women of faith expressing themselves to God. And they're already written out. All you got to do is open it and read it and make those words your words. You know what? A lot of people do this. We see it in the movies a lot. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And then how does that lead you to pray? In the midst of challenging circumstances, you can pray, "Lord, your word says that you are with me. I need you to be with me. I need you to comfort me. I need you to give me confidence." Psalms are full of it. I mean, that's one. How about Psalm 91? He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. How about Psalm 103? Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. How about Psalm 70? Hasten, O God, to save me. O Lord, come quickly to help me. Verse 5, yet I am poor and needy. Come quickly to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. Times of crisis, do you know how to talk to God? If you don't, the Psalms can teach you. You know, Jesus did this in His moment of greatest anguish. My Lord, my God, why have you forsaken me? My God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 22. Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, and I am not silent. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. But you, O Lord, be not far off. O my strength, come quickly to help me. You want to praise God? It's in there. You want to thank God? Examples are there. You're in the need of help? Examples are there. You feel like God has abandoned you? Examples are there. How to talk to God? Whatever your need. You know what? You don't have to be a man of many words. You don't have to be as verbose as Rick Carpenter. All you got to do is open to the middle of your Bible and let those words become your words. That's one way. Try it if you haven't before. A couple of others real quickly. I think it's a good thing to experiment with writing prayers out. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. Somebody shared a testimony in our staff meeting. I think it was in our staff meeting somebody in our church that with their group, they decided to just start a little conversation via email with a group of people. But instead of writing their emails to each other, they were writing their prayers in emails. Dear God, writing their prayers, and then send it to their group. There's just something about being able to put your words in writing that it's a different exercise than the often very common bow your head, close your eyes, and just say what comes up. And if you're a writer, if you're a person who sometimes likes to think things through a little bit more, it's a very helpful way. You know, this isn't the same as writing prayers, but another good exercise is to keep some kind of log somewhere that whenever you hear about something and you think, I need to pray for that, you can write it down. How often does it happen that you hear a story from somebody and you say, I'm going to pray for you, and then, man, it just never comes into your mind again? How many times have you told somebody you'll pray for them and then not prayed for them? A good habit is if when you tell somebody you're going to pray for them, do it right then. That's step number one that's often good. But step number two is to have something. This is one of those things that ladies do really good because they carry their Bibles like in a suitcase sometimes. It's like a purse for their Bible. And they can, you know, they open it up and they got bulletins that go back 20 years in here. And they have like a big journal they can pull out and they write down all their stuff. And guys are just like, I ain't carrying a purse for my Bible. But men, we can do the same thing. You got notes on your phone. You can buy just a little steno pad and keep in the glove box of your truck. Smear some oil on it. Do whatever you have to do to make it look manly. But then open it up, and when somebody mentions to you a prayer need, write it down. Physical need here. Write it down. That way you remember those things. And that way, if you don't know what to pray for, you can go back and say, man, 3 months ago, somebody asked me to pray for this. I need to remember to pray for them. Experiment with writing things down, okay? And then lastly, another way that's sometimes different than what a lot of people do is use songs to pray. You ever do that in here? Choir singing, orchestra's playing, Matt's directing, soloists are singing, or maybe it's congregational and you actually stand up and sing. You know what? One of the most influential moments in my own personal spiritual development was whenever I learned in the context of singing to do this. To close my eyes. Because the process of doing so took it all away from me just singing a song and looking around and I can't remember the words and look what that person's doing. And I'm still singing the exact same words, the exact same song, but what that little action does, any of you see Sylvester Stallone in Over the Top, the arm wrestling movie? Like 5 of you probably saw that with me. But he would wear a hat, and he would talk about how he'd take his hat and he'd kind of turn it around when he got time for the arm wrestling match. And that was like a switch. He just went from being normal, nice Sylvester Stallone. It's a Sylvester Stallone theme coming up with the summer theme. We'll tell you about that later. The switch would go on, and that's kind of how it is for me. I close my eyes, and it's a switch that makes it go from just singing words to these words being expressions of my heart to God. Let this be a prayer to God. Shout to the Lord. Praise, sing praises to Him. Come to my aid. Develop in me this kind of life. And all of a sudden it allows songs to be more than songs. They become expressions of your heart to God. That's what psalms are. It's just taking songs that aren't in here and songs that have been part of our tradition and liturgy going back, tens of years and hundreds of years, and letting those be your prayers. You know what, church? Is there anything new here? Maybe. The point of the message is that for our spiritual health, we have to be people who pray. You walk out today with knowing that. You came in today probably knowing that. The question is, at what point are we going to make it a regimented, disciplined, committed part of our life? Are you committed to it? It is the work of the church. It's the work of the believer. And so my job today is to call you to that work, to stand with you and to work alongside you, but to call you to that work. I'm going to ask you to bow and very appropriately to pray. Our musicians are going to come and they're going to play a little bit. We're going to pray, first of all, and then secondly, we're going to stand and sing. And I'm going to ask you to experiment, if you haven't before, to experiment with singing in a way that is also praying. Lord, what would you have me do with this? Do I need to make a trade? What do I need to set aside in my life in order to put this in? Lord, I'm not comfortable praying. I don't know how. Haven't done it very much. I'd like to. I want to. I'm not good at it. It's awkward for me. Perhaps you need to commit to opening the book of Psalms and praying a psalm every day till you get through it. That'll get you through half a year almost. Lord, I need to learn how to pray. Would your Holy Spirit please teach me how? Teach me how. Use your word to teach me how. Use the other godly people in my life to teach me how. take just a moment and continue in prayer. And see if the Lord wouldn't lay on your heart an area where you need to commit, a way that you need to commit. And then in just a moment, we'll stand and sing.